94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and right now I'm speaking with Jody Goggins Kelly. Got it right on the first try. Welcome. Speech pathologist during the career, long time New Havener. Let's get into it. Where were you born and where were you raised here in New Haven?
Oh, I was raised in New Hallville, right on Star Street.
All right. You were both parents, single parent household?
Two parents, both working. And my mom was one of the first meter maids here in New Haven. And my dad worked two jobs. He was a supervisor down at the post office on Brewery Street, and he also worked at the hospital, usually in the pharmacy, you know, or just about, you know.
What was mom's name?
Oh, Ruth. And my dad was Francis, but everybody knew him as Pete.
Oh, okay. So yeah, two prominent individuals. What did you get from them? What was being with mom like? Any interesting stories growing up?
No, well, I mean, I could say we got a good, solid, middle-class family. We lived, like I said, on Star Street. The house actually belonged to my mother's aunt, and both of my parents were from New York. My mom was from Harlem. My dad was from Poughkeepsie. After the war, he had a friend, went down to Harlem, met my mom. They got married, came to New Haven because my aunt was able to offer them an apartment. And after a while, she sold the house to them. They used that house to get a house in Hamden, in Whitneyville. Well, so came from New Hallville to Whitneyville, had a house. I think that encouraged me to get, you know, make sure I got a job, went to school, got a job, and then met my husband. And then we purchased a house in New Hallville.
Back to where you started.
Exactly.
Your mom was the first meter maid in the city, New Haven. What was that like, that to have an example of a strong, woman of color in your house?
It was good. She wasn't actually, her personality really wasn't like outgoing and all that. In fact, it was actually her and another woman, Mills and Huff, together. They were the first black meter maids in New Haven. Mrs. Huff was very, very outspoken. My mom was sort of the quiet one. My dad, however, everybody knew him. If you knew Pete Goggins, you knew Pete Goggins. Yep, he used to hang out over there where the Gough Street Park was, but where now the parking lot and back of Hill House, they always used to hang out there back in the day.
Mm.
Yep. Oh, my dad.
They still hang out there still.
They do still hang out there. Yes, they do.
So Pete Goggins, what kind of example was he? What did you get from him? Was it work ethic? Was it?
Oh, definitely. The work ethic. As far as being outgoing, I probably didn't take after him as much as my sister. I have one sibling. Her name is Reva. And she is now married. Again, living just outside of New Hallville. She lives closer to Albertus, but still in the neighborhood.
Mm.
But yeah, I think mainly through my father, we got that good work ethic. He worked two jobs on the weekends. That's when he was free. I remember taking, you know, one-day trips all up and down the East Coast. I mean, that I love, got my sense of travel through him. I love to travel. Yeah, I just think that it was mainly him that spurred me on going through college, getting that job right away, using that, you know, purchasing that house, you know, being there for my children. I have one son.
Wow. You traveled up and down the East Coast.
Yes.
What was the most memorable trip?
Oh, my goodness. I can remember doing the one-day trips up to Catskill Game Farm. Back in the day, they had a little like amusement park. I remember doing that. We would go up 91 to go to New Hampshire, Vermont, do the Baskerville tour, come on back down, get the fudge, come on back down. We just did that. And I kept continuing to do that when I got married, me and my husband and my son. We did that. We took those, you know, road trips. Loved it.
how important is it to get out and see other communities to get more perspective on your own?
Oh, I think it is so important. I know for me it was good. I got a good understanding of everything around me. I know some of the kids here in New Haven, they don't get out of New Haven. You know, I fortunately had that opportunity, like I said, when I was young. I knew about Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey. You know, we did those trips. You know, ask, you know, some of the kids today, like I said, they have never been out of New Haven. You know, where's New York City? They don't know. You know, they haven't experienced it. That, I think, my childhood was really, really great because we got to experience all these different things, even though my parents were both workaholics, especially my dad. But we still got to do all that, and I think that really influenced me and my sister as we grew up. She travels as well.
To appreciate other communities and to be well-rounded, it's very important. And you're right. People get hyper-localized, and then that's where you get all these like gangs, right? These territorial gangs and posses, and not as much now than the 90s. No, the 90s, it was more prevalent where it was one small part of town versus another small part of town, even though we all shared the city limits. You said that you went to college. Oh, no. What schools do you go to in New Haven?
Me and my sister are products of the parochial school system.
Oh, okay.
You know, back then.
All right. That's a good
school. You went to the good.
Yeah, that was a good school.
Right. Yeah, I know. So my parents, even though they were not Catholic, we attended St. Martin de Porres Church, and I still do. My sister does as well. I went to St. Martin School, which is now on the site of the Scandalberry Park. My sister went to, by then we're starting to move to Hamden. So she attended St. Mary's up on Prospect Street. I switched from St. Martin's to St. Mary's, I think, sent my 7th and 8th grade. We both went on to St. Mary's High School. And then I went on to Southern Connecticut. And then for my master's, New York State, I went all the way upstate to Geneseo, which is just south of Rochester.
Wow.
So, again, because both of my parents are from New York, and I especially loved upstate New York. For me, the country, that's the best thing. I'm more of a country kid.
Touching a little bit just for individuals, like back in the day, parochial schools were like charter schools are now.
Exactly.
And they were a little pricey. Now, were you chastised by these nuns? Because I've heard horror stories of nuns smacking hands with rulers.
I told you, you got to remember, I was the quiet one.
Oh.
I was the bookworm.
Okay. So
I did well.
Very good. Low on the radar. Excellent. Upstate New York, was there any level of culture shock for you in navigating these different environments?
Not so much, because like I said, we had been traveling. That was, you know, part of my dad's upbringing. When I went up to Geneseo, first, because I had gone to Southern, you know, I didn't stay in a dorm. I was a commuter. And by that time, we had lived in Hamden. So going to Geneseo really was my first time being out on my own. So that was more probably a shock than the culture. Upstate, I was actually adopted by the downstate New Yorkers, the ones who had come from Long Island. So I was part of their group. And then it was the downstaters versus the upstaters. So, but I gravitated toward them. I was part of them. So it was good.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. This is Jody Goggins Kelly doing her thing, talking about, we're going to talk about her sorority in 1 second and that kind of life. Now, is that when you join a sorority or this later?
No, again, the upbringing that, you know, I had, my sister and I, my parents, even though they worked so much, did have some social connections, but they weren't like, you know, say the, the Jack and the Jill and all those other organizations. My parents kind of were like off the radar, even though they had a lot of friends. Like I said, My dad had a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. But so no, I didn't do, and they didn't go to college. You know, they just finished high school. So we were the first generation college in our family. So yeah, doing the sororities and the fraternities, they didn't really have that, you know, the Greek Nine upstate.
So really. No. The Divine Nine, no.
No, the Divine Nine, I mean. No,
they were upstate. No. Who's older, you, your sister or you?
I'm older.
So you went to college first, navigating. I mean, I don't know if it's much different, but how was that navigating a system that were there other family members that were helpful, or did you really have to learn on your own?
No, actually, that far upstate, I was by myself.
So you applied to college, and was there a guidance counselor or someone that, or did it just your parents? Or was it your parents that were like, higher education?
No, I think coming from Southern had some really good guidance. I was already in my major. I knew I wanted to be a speech pathologist from high school.
Okay.
So I went to Southern, and that was my major.
Mm.
And then when I wanted to go on to get the master's, because that's one of those things you had to really get in that field, you had to go on to your master's. I think I did look at Southern, but I wanted to go away by then. So I did look at a couple different colleges. I looked at UMass, I looked at CW Post, and I looked at Geneseo, which is, again, part of the state of New York system, just like Southern.
Mm.
And I think that kind of just fit better for me. Mm. Coming from Southern to SUNY Geneseo, it was pretty much the same, except now I'd have to live in a dorm.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was a grad student, it was a specific kind of dorm. It was just for grad students and foreign students. So it was nice. It wasn't that many of us. I think there was like less than 100 in the whole dorm, only four floors, and we really got to know each other. And we almost became like a little family, because you had your junior transfers, you had your foreign students, and then you had your grad students.
Okay. So now you graduate, you get your first couple of jobs. Did you get right into the field right out of college? Or?
Yes, I did. I applied to New Haven, and I was accepted. So now I'm back home.
Oh, and you worked for your first job was where? New Haven for the education system?
Yes.
Oh, Board of Ed?
Yes.
Wow. Not many people of color choose this field.
Right.
So you were probably very unique in that.
Actually, to tell the truth, my supervisor at the time was Nell Cole.
Mm.
And she was a person of color. And she was the supervisor.
Okay. Wow. Oh, there you go. And how long were you in the New Haven Board of Ed for?
I was in for 30 years before I got ill, and I had to take an early retirement.
Okay. Wow. 30 years. Now, your 30 years of experience, what changed in the field from when you first started? What was the most drastic difference, you know, because I know you get taught something in school and you come into the field and you have a certain practice. What was?
No, dealing with the students and what I expected to do, that really, you know, wasn't that much of a surprise. I think over the years, the amount of responsibility, the documentation that you have to do, that's definitely increased.
Mm.
It's become where it was more fun, now it's more the paperwork. And from what I've heard of my colleagues still in the field, it's gotten really, really, you know, you have to dot your I's, cross your T's, do this, do that. A lot more than it was when I first joined the career.
Or you're not getting paid. Not getting paid. So you go ahead and you work for the Board of Ed. Were there any lumps that you took, any setbacks during your career that you saw, or was it smooth sailing for you because of your demeanor? Or
yeah, it was pretty smooth sailing. The one thing about being an itinerant is you don't necessarily get caught up with the school, that specific school politics. At one time, in the beginning, I had a caseload of 80 students. in like 4 or 5 schools. So you're bouncing around. Over the years, my caseload did decrease, but then also too, when I left, I think I left, I was primarily just at East Rock. And I dealt with a variety of different caseloads. I dealt with articulation cases. I dealt with stuttering cases. At East Rock, I dealt with the hearing impaired kids. You dealt with the cognitively delayed students. You dealt with language impaired students, language delayed students. So being a speech pathologist, you kind of cover everything. You're sort of
how many students do you have?
You're a reading teacher, you're a language teacher, you're a little bit of everything.
How many students did you have in just in East Rock? Roughly. Yeah.
I forget what my final caseload. It wasn't 80. It was more probably 40 or 50. But that was my
wow.
only site.
But at one school?
Yes.
Wow.
And you figure most students probably got about an hour a week, mm-hmm. either individually or in a group.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get involved with your current sorority? And what's the name of it?
It's the National Sorority of Phi Delta Kappa Incorporated. And we're the Delta Phi chapter. We're the only chapter in all of New England. A friend of mine, Arlene Nasser.
Now, this is a black...
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. This is a black female educators organization.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Phi Delta Kappa International.
We're not going to even go there. This is
because people will do say that.
Yes, yeah, because that's what I got confused too in our conversation. But this is a black sorority for educators. How did you get? Number one, you got to have a teaching certificate to be part of this organization. Got to be black. You got to be a female.
Yes.
All right. So, 3 requirements. How did you get in?
Well, like we were saying before, I really was not familiar with, you know, the Divine Nine, fraternity, sororities, any kind, whether it was them or whether it was like a professional organizational that was built like that. A friend of mine, Arlene Nasser, who has since passed away, she was a social worker in the New Haven school system. We were fast friends, and she had gone through HBCUs. So she knew about it, and she had heard about this and that it was here in New Haven. She brought me along, and we both pledged, and we became members.
Wow. And now
and that was actually back in 1993.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's been a while.
What benefits did you receive being part of this organization?
Mainly the sisterhood, knowing that I'm part of, or there are other black female educators out there, and we try to help each other. You're out there, we see you, you know, we kind of help you, bring you in. To tell the truth, we're a small group, we're quiet. We do have to get, you know, more out there and let people know, because we have been around 42 years, and when you say, oh, NSPDK, Delta Phi, people don't really know us. But we have been around 42 years, and we've had some really remarkable female educators that have been part of this group.
Yeah, I think I know one called Gail Staggers.
Yes, you do.
That was my teacher at HSC when I attended there from 91 to 95.
Yes, so Gail. Gail's a longtime member. We have some other great female New Haven educators like Eleanor Boyd, Eleanor Turner.
Eleanor Boyd was my principal at Lincoln Bassett when I went to Lincoln Bassett, but continue. All the connections here.
Yes, yes. Dorinda Sizemore, Cheryl Shoulders. These are women that actually chartered this organization. They're the reason we exist. And they were fantastic. Now, true, I did not go through the New Haven public school system, but once I got in the system, I found these women.
Mm.
And my late husband had a really personal connection with Eleanor Boyd. She always used to call him her little brother, my late husband, Lavester Kelly, worked at Roberto Clemente. Plus, he also ran the pool every summer at Cross.
I remember Mr. Kelly because I went to Clemente also. So, yes. And he used to do martial arts in my coast. Very good. All right. There you go. This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is Jody Gunkins Kelly having a great conversation here, speaking now about her Black Educators Female Sorority again. The name is?
The National Sorority of Phi Delta Kappa Incorporated.
So, and she's just sitting here name dropping all the educators that I have been in contact with over the years. New Haven is only but so big. That is the thing that we all know. And certain people know each other when you get to a certain level. And so what would you want to say or your invitation to, and how can someone get in contact with the sorority?
Well, we do periodically recruit, and usually it's a member of the sorority that we know somebody that we think would be a good match that could give us, that can work with us, and that we can also uplift and help in their career. So the ladies in our organization, they would get in touch with somebody.
Okay. So that you got to be tapped on the shoulder type thing.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you know what? And it always goes back to someone's always watching, huh? Someone is always watching. But if you get tapped on the shoulder, or is there, if someone's interested, they just say they're interested, is there a way to reach out to you, or do you really have to
wait? Actually, we do have a website.
Okay.
We do have a website, and of course, the name escapes me, but I do think it is, and I'll find out later, and I know later on during the month, you'll be speaking with our president, Felicia H. Williams, but I do believe it's NSPDKDeltaPhi.com. I can always, I might be wrong.
Okay, but I mean, but if they Google it, they more
they should be able to find DeltaPhi. DeltaPhi is the name of our chapter, and I think it is, it might be just DeltaPhi.com.
Okay, very good. Looking forward to it. Now, your organization puts together some events, such as this new recent one coming up.
Well, our major one is coming up next month, March 20th through the 22nd. And what it's a youth leadership conference. And what happens is it rotates from chapter to chapter, but it is a conference that is put together, run by, led by our youth. And that's part of what the chapters and what the organization does. Not only is it a sisterhood of female educators, but we also try to empower our youth. So we have two different groups of high school kids. The girls we call Zenos, the boys we call Kudos. And I happen to be more of a boy mom, so I am the advisor for the Kudos. But this leadership conference is a whole weekend long in whatever venue it is for that year. This year it happens to be us at the Trumbull Marriott. But yeah, we have workshops. We have competitions. This year is a special. Instead of the in-house workshops, we are offering the students and the adults that are coming with them a chance to connect to their past to build generational wealth. We're going to have tours to Mystic to see the Amistad and the Mystic Seaport, as well as a tour to come downtown New Haven to walk the Freedom Walk and visit the New Haven Museum.
So much out there. Final words. We're at the end of the conversation. Look how fast time flies. Any final words? Any out there, a person who is thinking about becoming a speech pathologist or is a Black educator that's feeling a little lonely in their path?
I would say to reach out to, like I said, the website. It has our contact information. But just to know that I know in today's climate, you know, you think you're the only one out there. You know, there are Black educators here in Connecticut. We're out there, you know, we see you. And I think it's just great that somebody still wants to become an educator, and the children, you know, they see somebody that looks just like them. I know we've had people, because the people like Mrs. Boyd, Mrs. Turner, Mrs. Sizemore, that they've influenced them, and then they wanted to join the field. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I know in the sorority, because it's an educational sorority, I know people that have, they've joined, and then their daughters have joined.
Wow.
So that influence is there.
You're not alone.
You're not alone.
This has been the Electric Drummer 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. This has been a delightful and intriguing conversation with Jody Goggins Kelly. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And for everyone that's out there listening, thank you for your time. And thank you for listening.